Good morning.
I'll get all hooked up here, and while I'm getting hooked up, I'll ask you a question. Have you ever thanked the Lord God for an illness, for a cold? I got a cold. I sound like this today, Brad. You're going to hear that over the mic. It can't be hidden, but I'm thanking God Almighty for a nasty cold that hit me about 3 in the morning on Friday because I had appointments in Fort Wayne. And I knew then I was not going to be able to keep those appointments. And got up at 6:30 to make the cancellation. And in fact, that's when I found Laura in the family room. Not passed out, but ready to pass out. She was as gray as gray could be. But Wilmer, she's about the color of your coat right there. No kidding. And I knew right then. I said, Lord God, thank you for keeping. She'd been sick with the flu since Tuesday. She'd had 3 little things of Jell-O and 2 pieces of toast since Tuesday. That was it. And so at any rate, she couldn't keep anything down. And got her to the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, 128, her heart rate. And said, Lord, you're not going to like it, but you're going to the hospital. Thank God for a cold that I was there for my beloved at just the right time. Right? At just the right time. Corrie Ten Boom, I'm going to tell a story about her next week. And they had fleas there in that Nazi concentration barracks where she stayed with her sister Betsy. And they just hated the fleas. And then come to find out they were able to have Bible studies because the Nazi guards didn't want anything to do with those fleas. So she praised God for the fleas. Well, I praise God for the cold. She's on the mend. Thank God for the Van Wert County Hospital. Got her home yesterday. And she's going to be resting for a few days. But the hospital did tell me not to shake hands, obviously, and also to use the pulpit as a platform for our community consciousness, that get the alert out. This is not a flu to be messed with. Of course, we still grieve. I was just sharing about Chris Adams, 53 years of age, son of my good buddy Gary, and it's just a very nasty flu. So be vigilant, wash your hands often, wash them often, and just be vigilant. So thank God again for the Van Wert County Hospital. Just wonderful care there, Keith. We love them dearly. Now then, are there parish notices to come before us before we begin our time of worship? One quick note, Rick, are you proud of me? I'm proud that I can remember these days. The ad board, that was a misprint. It's actually going to be, and I apologize to Gene, it's actually going to be 7 p.m. I tell you, Gene, I'm sleep deprived right now. I haven't been sleeping. So it is at 7 p.m. Thursday night, not 8 p.m. Please take note, it is at 7 p.m. for the ad board. Any other parish notices to come before us? And I'll bet you we got some. Yes, Keith? No choir practice this week. You got it, partner. Mary Ann.
It's still not too late. If you would like to go with us Saturday, we have the United Methodist Women's, what they call half day, spiritual day. We will be leaving the school parking lot. Well, we can't leave there. We can leave from there, too. We'll be leaving from the church parking lot about 9 and see me. And I have, you still can register, and I'll put them in the mailbox on the way out of town today. So this is this Saturday. We're leaving about 9 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Ann, and spoken like a great teacher. Thank you. Yes, Mr. John Hall, you going to share something with us, buddy? Good for you.
Okay, once again this year we'll be going to the Fort Wayne Rescue Mission to serve dinner, and the pie crust and fruit filling will be available after today in the closet off the social hall back here. And if you would, takes four pie crusts for each can of fruit filling. So if you would, sign up on the bulletin board back here for how many pies that you will bake, and also if you're willing to serve. So that helps us to be able to plan. So it's a very rewarding day, and hope that you'll want to take advantage of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother John. Any other parish notices to come before us? Hearing none, let's prepare our hearts for morning worship. Let us pray. God of grace, our souls are troubled until they find their rest in you. Help us to face the future unafraid, that we may know in the very marrow of our bones the truth of Christ's gospel. In our living and in our dying, renew us in the knowledge that you are drawing all people to yourself. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you need a fresh start, make your need known.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
If you feel far from God, call out in your need.
Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
If the cares of the world hang about your neck, plead to the Lord with all your might. If you need a fresh start, turn to God, for God will hear your prayers. Let us join together now, lift up our hearts and voices to the Lord this Lenten season, drawing near to Good Friday. 301, Jesus, keep me near the cross. take this opportunity to welcome one another to the passing of the peace. Parents, I want you to know I will keep my distance from the children. I love my babies, and I don't want them getting sick. Dave, I'll lean on you to hand out the treats when it comes time for the treats then. But we will have the children come forward for the children's moments. So just sit right here on the front pew, and if you need to sit here, that's fine. I'll respect that distance, and so you come forward at this time. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones that can be long, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. So I'll just step over here. This way you can all see, and plus I can keep my distance. We're going to start, once again, with a community announcement. You see here a Band-Aid as a symbol of medicine, right? Now, as I just shared with the church, have you had any buddies have been sick? Any of your friends, classmates been sick with the flu? Raise your hands, all of you that have had classmates that were sick. Yes, indeed. I know the nurse that was working with Laura said there were 27 in her class, and 21 were in the class, and 7 of them were homesick with the flu. Teachers, Marianne, there you go, teacher. There's a pretty good percentage that was out of that class. That was a van word. But what they're saying is, what you got to do is you just got to wash your hands. See, the Band-Aid keeps the germs from you. Well, there are going to be germs in the air, bacteria and things like this. So what you do, children, how many of you have mom and dad and your grandparents are telling you, wash your hands, especially like before you eat, wash your hands real good? That's right. Do you know what I was told? And you can use this too. Medical people tell me when you're washing your hands, pretend that you're singing a happy birthday song to somebody or sing it to yourself, you know, but just say, you know, happy birthday to you. And that's how long you're supposed to use the soap and the water to wash your hands. But why do we wash our hands? Anybody? Yes, go ahead, sweetie. For germs, to wash away the germs. Now, those are germs, and we use soap and water for that. The Bible talks about a different type of washing that's not about germs. It's not about germs. The Bible talks about a far deeper problem that we all share, and it's called sin. And the only way to be cleansed of sin is by the forgiveness of God. And that forgiveness of God, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah was a great prophet preparing the world for the coming of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So on Good Friday, of course, we have the cross lifted up. And on the cross, Jesus delivered himself as the Lamb of God who was without blemish, no sin. But out of love for us, he came for that assignment. He came and gave his life upon the cross of Calvary. And he washed away our sins. All we have to do is accept the gift. Now, that's right. I said it's a gift. Salvation's a gift, children. We can't earn it. And it comes in spite of our undeserving it. But this is what it's about. The gift of the love of God through Jesus Christ to wash our sins away. So accept the gift. And allow your heart to be cleansed and lead a new life. I'm going to just have you hold hands with one another, okay? You hold hands and let us give thanks. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your love that we find in Jesus, who died upon the cross of Calvary. There he shed his precious blood, died for us, Lord, to cleanse us of our sins. So, oh Lord, we thank you for that love. We want the love of Jesus to grow in our hearts, to accept his salvation in his name. We also want to share with other boys and girls here and around the world about Jesus and his forgiving love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave, you can come forward and start handing out the treats. And I think in the interest of time, Brother Dave's just going to hand you two. And you go ahead, because normally we get to split it up. But he's just going to hand you two suckers. You keep the one, of course. And when you give that other one away, you know what we just talked about. Tell them about, right, Jacob? Tell them about Jesus and his love, right? We're coming up on Good Friday. In fact, one of the songs, and I'm sorry, children, I got this head cold. I sound so funny. The song, one of the songs that Keith has chosen, our professor here, and Linda, and the choir have chosen, is about the difference that the cross makes in our lives. So you share with other boys and girls, will you please, about Jesus and his love. And Brother Dave, thank you so much. Jacob's going to carry the mic. Well, look at this group today, huh? And I'm jealous because I always love to get in that circle with you. But a circle spirit is what it really is. It's spiritual. So we did get to share. But I look forward. I look forward to being back with you next week. Boy, oh boy, we are coming up on Holy Week. You know, next Sunday, Keith's worked so hard with that cantata. Got a very special Easter cantata. That's going to be next Sunday morning. So we're looking forward to that. Now, you may return to your pews and follow through with that assignment. Jacob is going to carry... My children. Jacob's going to carry the mic. Fine, young man here. If you're a visitor, again, we welcome you. And as a way of welcome, we've got visitors' cards prepared for you. Back here in the back, they're on the little columns. And if you need help in finding a visitor's card, folks here, it's all about hospitality. And that's why they let me repeat this announcement every week. We're prepared for church growth. We're prepared for hospitality. That visitor's card, fill it out. I will need your name and telephone number if you want me to get back to you. Sometimes folks just like to put an unspoken prayer request. I respect that. We all do. So if you want to do that, you just do that. And God will take care of it. But otherwise, put your name, telephone number on there. And when we take up the morning offering, drop it in the plate. The ushers never fail to get me those. So we invite you to use that. Also, now, Jacob's here with the mic. What's this about, visitors? It's called the Joys and Concerns. This is really one of the high points of our community worship experience. If you have a joy, for instance, it could be the announcement of a birthday or a wedding anniversary. It could be a testimony of how the Lamb of God is making a change in your life or giving you strength. You want to lift up that rich testimony, that good news, raise your hand. It could be a concern, maybe somebody you love is sick and you want to remember them. Or we've had cases here recently, haven't we? And we've got Jeff back there, Brother Jeff Leary, your uncle. God bless you, brother. God bless you. His uncle died suddenly. So there you go. So sometimes it's a loved one, a friend of ours, in a time of bereavement. We want to lift them up and alert the prayer warriors here. Joys or concerns, please raise your hand. Jacob's going to bring you the microphone. Joys or concerns. And I see right over here, Jacob. And keep your hand up high for him, if you will, please. Keep your hand up for him so that he can see you.
Yeah, I was up seeing Sis yesterday, and she seemed pretty alert yesterday.
Good,
she was talking. Good. She even corrected me on some things that I said.
She was doing well.
And so she was doing well. But
she was doing well.
But our prayers and concerns should go to Cindy and Dan, because Dan called Cindy yesterday morning. Cindy is home. And his mother passed away in May.
Dan's mom did?
Yes, Grace. And he was pretty upset about it, and all of us are, you know. And it's really hard on Cindy because she's not going home till later on today and everything. But just keep him in your prayers. Cause,
so there's his mama passed away.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry,
just,
Dave.
Boy, it hit us real hard and everything.
Well, yeah.
So, especially Cindy, she's really taken hard. She hasn't even told Sis about it yet, because Sis is worried about her being there with Dan,
yeah,
being at home anyhow.
Right.
And
right.
That was just something drastic that kind of happened this weekend. But
My goodness.
Keep me in your prayers, because I'll tell you, I've got a load on me now and everything with everything going on. And I know God's always with me and everything. And thank you for everybody, for all your comfort and everything.
Yes. Yes. Indeed, Dave. Indeed. God bless you, brother. God bless you. And keep your hands up so that Jacob can see. Jacob's a fine young man. I'll tell you, Mama, he does a great job. He's got a great biblical name, too. I like that name, Jacob.
My sister's birthday is tomorrow.
Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Other point. All right, they got it covered. Good deal. Good deal. There's a celebration. There's a joy. Any other joys or concerns? Any other joys or concerns? Oh, Jacob's got the mic there. Any other joys or concerns, folks? All righty. I don't want to squelch the spirit, but if that is all, can we give a thanksgiving for this fine young man? Fine young man. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jacob. Let us turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. Gracious Lord, as we have received mercy, as we have received mercy, help us to offer mercy to others. Cleanse our hearts and renew our spirits within us, that we may witness to the world the power of your love and your tender mercy. Deepen our faith, Lord, as we lift up from our hearts and we pray the prayer that the Savior has invited us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite us all to stand a beautiful hymn again, progressing now through the Lenten season, coming to a close. 297, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Please be seated. Again, the lectionary readings are preparing us for Calvary. Jeremiah is preparing the children of Israel for the coming of the Lamb of God. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through him this morning. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. For the Lord says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." May God add the blessing of His Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word.
This morning, we have a very special treat for you. I thought all week about writing notes down about what I was going to say this morning, but I'm just going to say what comes from the heart. I've been the director here now for 24 or 25 years. Vicki and I were talking. I don't know which. She'll find out for sure. And I've seen the great choir members come and go. Some have passed away. Some have just grown old. Some have moved away. When I look upon my choir, excuse me, I'm being possessive, our choir, I can just take and look around, and each choir member has their own particular seat. And I can see the faces of those people that have been here and have been dedicated and devoted to this church and to this choir. We're going to give you a little excerpt of the cantata for next Sunday. It's a mini cantata and it only lasts about 25 minutes, but it is absolutely unbelievable. When I went to the bookstore to pick out the cantata, I'm not sure whether this was the first one or whether it was the second, but it just kind of jumped out at me, out of all of the cantata. There was like 13 or 15 of them. And when I looked through this cantata and I saw this song, I said, "Wow, that is Reverend Lay's song." The man here. He and his wife, Laura, had been devoted choir members for 21 years here at the church, ever since he's been here. And I think I speak for all of us, not only as a congregation, but as a choir. When he has to go through retirement and leaves, wow, we're going to really miss you, partner. I'm telling you. So, if this song doesn't make goosebumps come over your body or chills come up and down your spine, then you better pinch yourself and see if you've actually woke up yet this morning. It is an excerpt of the cantata, "The Old Rugged Cross," by the Gaithers. "The Old Rugged Cross made the difference."
Brother, I just wish I had a little more to offer you and the Lord today, but it is a powerful message.
Mm-hmm.
was a life filled with aimless desperation. Without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched down there. Just one touch, then a new life began. And before the cross, made the difference in a life that for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever for the cross made the difference for me. There it was, in cruel harshness and anger, little feet ran to the home. Now it was all in the warmth and laughter, since the giver of life moved inside. Without hope, death is wrapped in the gloom. But at the sight of the Lord, a shield rejoicing. For life can receive glory too. See, I'm wanting to high five everybody. But the thought of them being sick in bed is not a, it's not a pretty sight. you know I'm a hugger, right? I'm a handshaker, and I'm almost compulsive about handshaking. Senator Doug White was my good buddy down on the High River, and I told him one time, I confessed to him, I said, Doug, you know, I just can't resist. I got caught the other day. There was somebody in Adams County said to him, said, preacher, you've already shaken my hands twice and you want to do it the third time. Doug said, don't worry about it, Greg. Don't worry about it. He said, when I was running for office, I not only waved at everybody, but one day I said, I'm going by a farmhouse, and I actually waved at the dog. But I am a hugger, and I'm sad that I can't hug you today. Because, boy, I tell you, we got good news. Jeremiah prepares the world for the coming of the promised Messiah. And God says, and I lift up these words from your listening, for I will forgive their iniquity. This is the new covenant. What do we say during communion? The new covenant, shed for many. The blood of the new covenant, shed for many, for the forgiveness of sins. This is the covenant. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. You know, we were all touched. I mean, we love the quartets that come to us. But I tell you, did you just feel it, Brother Warren, the Spirit last week, especially when Mark was preparing the special invitational piece that they were going to lift up, and he shared that tragic story about their buddy that had been out there with that chainsaw accident? I'm telling you, that just that gripped our hearts, and that they found him, that he was up against that tree and that he had died, and he used that as the opportunity. I tell you, Annie, I remember one time your beloved mama, and she was such a counselor to Greg. Your mama, what a woman of grace. And she was talking about someone was dying, and she says, but Greg, at least we know that they're right with the Lord. Isn't that what we want of our loved ones? That's exactly what we want. That change to come. John Grisham wrote a book once entitled The Testament. He tells about Nate O'Reilly, who was, sadly, he's a disgraced corporate lawyer. He is plagued with the bouts of alcoholism, drug abuse, two failed marriages. And now he is stricken with a dengue disease, a virus that is spread by mosquitoes. And he's so sick. And he goes to the church. Don't we always know who to run to in the time of need? We know where to go, don't we, Brother Dave? In the time of need, we know the one who is able. The one who is able. And we turn to the one. We turn to the Lord. So he's in church. Listen to how John Grisham describes this moment. I'm just going to lift it up verbatim. Nate O'Reilly. With both hands he clenched the back of the pew in front of him. He repeated the list of his sins, mumbling softly every weakness, every flaw, every affliction, every evil that had plagued him. He confessed them all, and in one long, glorious acknowledgement of failure, he laid himself bare before God. He held nothing back. He unloaded enough burdens to crush any three men. And finally, finished, Nate, with tears in his eyes, cried out, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. Please help me. As quickly as the fever left his body, he felt the baggage leave his soul. With one gentle brush of the hand, his slate had been wiped clean. With one gentle brush of the hand, his slate had been wiped clean. Thus says the Lord through Jeremiah, I will forgive their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. We want that. Well, we'll find that. We know who to turn to. Instinctively, we all know. We know who to turn to. And we will find that in the Lord, the Savior of all the world, Jesus Christ. We want that. And we want that, as your mommy was sharing with me, as we shared. We want that for our loved ones. Lillian Imbick became a dear friend through Brian. Now, here's my professor who had honored me with honors I don't deserve. As I've always said, I've got arthritis and I don't deserve that either. But at any rate, Doug Keith, seriously, you have just flattered me and given me tasks that have just really just humbled my heart. I love you, brother. I love you, professor. A learned musician. I'm just an old back porch picker. And I came here, and Brian Stewart, there's one of those seats, right? That's one of those seats. Brian Stewart, of course, a consummate artist, a professional artist. I just would tag along with him. He made a covenant with me. He said, you know, we're going to be doing a lot of stages. We're going to be doing TV. He introduced me to Bob Sievers, good buddy Bob Sievers. And at any rate, he said, every place we go, we'll do the gospel. We will do the gospel as well. Well, in the course of ministering, we had a connection through Glenn Kraft. Brian, I think you do appreciate his pedigree. You got to remember, Loretta Lynn got the majority of her band from your Brian Stewart. Did you know? How many of you knew that? You know who Loretta Lynn is, right? She got most of her orchestra through him. How many of you remember... what was it, Roy Clark and all of them were on? Was Hee-Haw. Hee-Haw, which was a stereotype of the South. I know a lot of my Southern brothers and sisters took umbrage at the stereotype. But at any rate, Roy Clark was a consummate artist, but there was a better guitarist than him. That was Dave Lyle, Dave Lyle Sr. And Chet Atkins had him at the house when Dave Lyle Jr. was just a little boy beside him. And Dave knows all about his brother-in-law. And Chet Atkins said in front of Dave Lyle Jr., who was the lead guitar player for Brian's album, the CD that you all are acquainted with, and he told him in front of Jr., he says, "Your daddy is the greatest guitarist to ever live." And I'm a Chet Atkins fan. So if Chet says that, that's something. So Dave Lyle Sr. was one of Brian's guitar... He worked for your brother-in-law, okay? Brian was the head of the band, even though it was Bob as well. Brian was the chief. So he worked with him. And then Glenn Kraft played for Ronnie Millsap on an occasion. And he worked for your brother-in-law. So he's, what I'm coming to, Keith, Professor, is that when Brian picked me to come along with him to pick and tag harmonies, he was slumming. I'm a back porch picker. That's all I am. I'm not a consummate artist. But he really taught me a lot. And he introduced me to other friends because through Glenn Kraft, we became acquainted with Lillian Endick, the founder of Audiences Unlimited, which though technically not a Christian organization, it is. She's a devout Christian. And that brings me to my next story. We have become dear friends. And she had a heartache as a mother. Annie, she's just a sweet, sweet lady. And she had a heartache for her son, her beloved son as a professor, Stan. She said, "Gregory," said, "pray for my son." Said, "he's a wonderful teacher and instructor, professor. His students love him. But Gregory, he has turned his back on the Lord. He was baptized on Easter Sunday, and he has turned his back on the Lord and walked away from the relationship with God. And I don't know what I'm going to do." So grieved was her heart. She said, "Now I do feel for him. He's bipolar." Tony Campolo talked with us when we went to see him on the district. He shared with us how important it is for many of our brothers and sisters to go to the psychiatrist, the medical end, so that they can get the body chemistry regulated. And sometimes that is a real chore. And sometimes they just work and work to keep that balance. And that's what happened to Stan. But he walked away from God. He had all sorts of problems. He fell in love with a woman who just loves him beyond words, named Margie. But he had a painful divorce. And following a painful divorce, to add to the agony, he just has not been able to make a commitment to begin again. Right? We're talking about the God of second chances, but Stan just couldn't begin again. He was afraid. Now, just back up now, roughly a little over a month, I get a call from Lillian. "Greg, when you come to Fort Wayne," and I went to see your sister, "said, when you come, I gotta have lunch with you. Greg, I need you. I gotta talk to you." This beloved son of hers was stricken with pancreatic cancer. Now, obviously, he'd had it for some time. He hadn't paid attention to symptoms. I don't know that you always have very telltale symptoms. I'm not going to throw any stones at him. I don't go to the doctor much at all, to be honest. Lord, forgive me. I'm supposed to be community service spokesperson today, but I confess that sin. But at any rate, when he went, he not only had pancreatic cancer in the worst way, but it had already metastasized, gone throughout his body. And he didn't leave the office before the doctor and the staff connected him with hospice. She says, "Gregory, he hasn't got long at all. I'm taking my daughter, his sister Sylvia. We're going to Florida." Well, I told you I was sick on Friday, and we rushed Laura into the hospital. In the meantime, John, there was a call that came in, and it was Lillian. She says, "Gregory, have you got just a moment, please, on the phone?" I said, "Well, I'm here at the hospital with my beloved." And she says, "Oh, you tell Laura." I said, I will definitely be praying for her, but what I have is good news for you." She said, "You knew I was going to Florida?" I said, yeah. She said, "Sylvia and I got there, and Margie came up to her. And Margie says, you know, Lillian, my mama passed away years ago. Lillian, would you be offended if I call you mom? I've loved you so much, and you are like a mother to me. Would you mind if I called you mom?" And Lillian said, "I would be honored." Well, her son is still somewhat ambulatory. He is very weakened, but he can still walk a little bit. He can still stand, and he can still walk a little bit, and he stood. And he looked different. He looked different because the cross makes the difference. For me, for you, mother, he says, I want you to know, and I know how important it is to you, I want you to know, I have made my peace with God. Well, she just started crying, you know, tears of joy. She says, honey, I just want to know that I'm going to see you someday, that we're all going to be together. Jesus makes it possible. He says, mother, I know that now. I have surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and I am not afraid, mother. And he's not. He said, I'm not afraid. And then a minister shows up. Man, she said he was dressed. I don't always wear institutional clothing. We were trained by the conference, by the way, in counseling, pastoral care. You don't always want to wear institutional clothing, a lot of times, especially when you go to someone's home. You want them to feel comfortable. But here he comes dressed like royalty. Handsome young pastor. He told the denomination he was from, Ted. And Lillian says, you're not going to believe this, Reverend. I just spoke in one of your Christian denomination churches. Lillian is a bright, bright woman in her mid-90s. She quoted that denomination, Christian church, the denomination's mission statement to the definite and the indefinite article. And the minister nearly fell over. And she says, I'm so, so honored to meet you. And the joy, you've been ministering to my son, have you? Because he just shared with me that he has returned to Christ and he is at peace. He says, yes, yes. But he says, that's not why I'm here, Lillian. Now she's puzzled. He says, I'm here to do something different. I'm here to perform a wedding. Margie comes up, says, Mom, will you give me away? Sylvia, big sister, Stan comes up to Sylvia. And says, Sylvia, sis, will you give me away? And there they go, proceed to the back deck, beautiful lawn there in Florida, the sun is shining, and the young minister performed the wedding. Lillian shared in closing. She says, you know, Gregory, I'll be calling you soon because the doctors have given my stand 2 weeks. But she says, Gregory, these are tears of joy as well. The doctors have given him 2 weeks. The Savior, Jesus Christ, has given him everlasting life. That's what we want. That's what you want for your loved ones. That's what God wants for all the world. There will come a day when the Lord returns, when all the creatures of His creation will know. They won't need to be told. And I've witnessed it again and again, Brother Warren, that if there are no atheists in the foxholes, right? When the times come, I told you there are no atheists. There are none. When that tornado swept through Xenia and the atheist professor and his wife, both of them very vociferous, in your face, atheist. When the home lifted their dwelling from the foundation into the skies, that's when my professors, who taught me classical Greek, devout Christians, were on the other side of the street, and they witnessed these vociferous atheists fall on their knees, crying out to whom? You guessed it, Gail. We all. There is a creator, and we are his creatures. And one day, says the Lord, we will all know him. But let that day be now. Let the Lord give you everlasting life, for you are forgiven. I will forgive their iniquities, says the Lord. And get this, I will remember their sins no more. This time, the ushers will assist as we worship the Lord through our morning tithes and offerings. Thank you. Let us pray together. Nurturing God, with hearts washed clean and spirits made new, we celebrate the joy of your salvation. Bless our tithes and offerings this day, that they may bear much fruit in the lives of those who need it most. Amen.
Thank you, Doug.
And once again, where's my professor? There he is right there. As with the Gaithers, song written long ago. 504, The Old Rugged Cross. Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, The communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen.